Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This NFL Week 17 Thursday Night Football Player Props edition of the NFL Propcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
And taking the shot, the ground down.
Welcome everyone to the Propcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Wednesday, December the 27th, currently a 106 on the East Coast. Here to get into our Thursday night football player props for the Week 17 matchup between the New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns. Two teams that are going in opposite directions here, but not the fault of the New York Jets. We'll talk about it here in a second. But joining me, we got our full house here. First up, it's my main man, Rod Villagomez. Rod, how's it going, my friend?
Pretty good, but I'm wondering, how could we not have flexed this game out of Thursday night? In all the powers that the NFL has, we couldn't figure out a way to flex this one out. I'm sure there's a better game out there to put in this slot. But I mean, listen, you can make money off of bad games as we've been doing all season long. So I guess this is just another one.
It's just a theme that as soon as we think it can't get any worse, it just does get worse for us every single week. And I think we've said that ever since like week one or week two. I know we had a couple of good games in there, but yeah, it just keeps on getting worse and worse. But hey, we only have, I think, one more left. I think this is the last Thursday night football game, if I'm not mistaken, guys. So yeah, we got to enjoy it here. This is our last Thursday night football episode of the football season. So hopefully we end it on a high note. But also joining us, I got my guy here with me as well. It's Chris B. Cappin. Chris, what's going on, my man?
What's up, you know? What's up, Rod? I guess I would say, I was going to say excited to, you know, to get into the, I guess I am excited to talk about the props. I don't know much about watch the game, like you said, Rod. But, you know, it's a blessing to be able to watch football. And we do get a resurgence from Joe Flacco in primetime football. So I guess we got a little to talk about, you know. And the Jets haven't been good, of course, like you said, you know, if these two teams are going in separate ways. But always still, like, you know, pretty exciting to be able to kind of go in here. And I think this is what – you know, this is like the professionalism that you have to have when you're handicapping these props on a weekly basis, because you look into these games and you're like, oh my God, his passing yards are sitting at 166. Like, what are we about to get into? And, you know, you still got to go through and do your due diligence to, you know, find ways to be able to make money. And hopefully that's what we're able to do here.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's we can start with it there, right? The Cleveland Browns, like you mentioned there, Chris, that Joe Flacco just looks like the quarterback a little bit that led the Baltimore Ravens to their Super Bowl championship way back in the day when they played at that time called the Superdome in New Orleans. But I mean, he's been in an absolute tear. I know we'll probably have some player props on him as well, but I mean, look, give credit to the Cleveland Browns. I know when the injury happened to Deshaun Watson, that it was either going to be DTR, being at that quarterback position, but they went out and got Joe Flacco. And Flacco, despite, you know, back-to-back weeks of throwing interceptions of two or more over the last 2 weeks, He's led them to three straight wins. They're sitting as a 10-win team, are the Cleveland Browns. He's had 300-plus passing yards in three straight weeks as well. So it looks like Joe Flacco's turned back the clock of turned back the clock a little bit, and looks in really good form here. So again, the Cleveland Browns, number one, not only are going to make it into the playoffs, but they are still in that conversation to win this AFC North division. Right now, like I mentioned, they have a record of 10-5. They're sitting atop of, they are in second place in that AFC North. The Baltimore Ravens have clinched the division, is what I should say, or clinched a playoff berth, but they are well on their way. The Cleveland Browns are to a playoff spot, sitting there with 10 wins, and they've taken care of business at home. 7-1 are the Cleveland Browns, another home game here for the Cleveland Browns. But Brian, anything else you want to add about this Browns team and what you've kind of seen with Joe Flacco at that quarterback position?
It's very interesting to see that he was the guy. I mean, everyone was like, Joe Flacco, what, off the couch? And all of a sudden he just proves that age has no limit and that he can actually get it done. But I also think that this is a testament to the team that the Browns actually put together. I mean, if you can only imagine what this team would have been like from day one with maybe Joe Flacco, I don't know. But just the fact that the Browns are fighting and scrapping with what is not necessarily the greatest of rosters, you know? You got Amari Cooper, and you got Njoku, and you've got Ford back there, and it's like, it's kind of a cast of who else around him. So, yeah, the Browns, they're going to be dangerous. I don't know that they'll make a deep run, but I think really you gotta give it to these guys for building a team that's competitive right now heading into the last parts of the season.
Yeah. Again, I mean, like you mentioned it, it seems like maybe Joe Flacco had a conversation with Tom Brady and maybe got on his diet before he got that phone call from the Cleveland Browns. But hey, look, he's looked really good, like we've mentioned. Chris, any thoughts on the Cleveland Browns and Joe Flacco and how this team has had a lot of success after all the guaranteed money that they have paid Deshaun Watson? Looks like it's not looking very good for them.
That's the one thing that kind of jumped out to me. I think Rod kind of said it best already, but just kind of piggybacking off of that, man, I just feel like we've seen such mediocrity from the quarterback position in the NFL this season. We see so many bad secondary quarterbacks after some of these guys have gone down to injury. And to have Joe Flacco come in and just, like you said, you know, just turn back the hands of Tom. Like, we owe this man like a standing ovation. Like, they should show up to Cleveland and have a parade just for Joe Flacco. I mean, you look at this guy's numbers. No backup has come in and done what he's been able to do over these past few weeks. And teams with, you know, literally, he's putting up better number than a lot of the starters in the NFL, let alone the backups that's coming in, you know, that is quote unquote his contemporary. So, yeah, I mean, this is pretty it's pretty amazing, you know, especially when we think about how, like you said, Deshaun Watson really, really struggled. And I know I was kind of high on Deshaun Watson coming into the season, but, you know, thinking that last year he just kind of needed to get his footing. But yeah, I mean, it just wasn't the year for him. You see him go down with the injuries. He tries to come back. He battles back. He gets injured again. And he just never really had any of those, like, really breakout performances that we – you know, we really kind of, he wasn't able to string them together anyway. So shout out to Flacco, man. Flacco is really, you know, you said it, you know, they're 10-5. They won, what, three straight games, I want to say.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it, like Rod, go back to what Wyatt said. This is the last point I'll make. Going back to what Rod said, just kind of putting this team in place to say, hey, look, if we do get a quarterback that can, like, you know, do what they're supposed to do, and we don't need a lot, right? Because the defense is really, really good. We just need you to take care of the ball. We need you to go down. You know, kind of game manage almost. But if you can do more than that, and Flacco has in the last few weeks, then we could potentially, you know, upset the ante, you know. So, yeah, both things. Like Rod said, just kind of having all the kind of pieces in place. The defense is really, really solid, of course. They do a pretty good job on all three levels of the game. And then you bring in, you know, superhero Joe Flacco, and this is the result that you get.
Yeah, I mean, on the flip side for the Jets, I mean, I guess not a lot to talk about with the injury that did occur to Aaron Rodgers in week one against the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football. And they've kind of been going through that quarterback carousel as well. And now they have Trevor Siemian starting at that quarterback position for the New York Jets. But look, this talent, this offense is, and this team, I should say, is really talented. I know their owner or front office already came out and said that Robert Saleh and the GM are going to be back next season. And again, you can't blame them for not bringing them back after had the injury to the most important position, possibly in all of sports, at that quarterback position with Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, there's rumors of Aaron Rodgers possibly trying to come back. And obviously, you know, them being officially eliminated from the playoff contention, there's no real reason to for him to be out there and just fully recover from that torn Achilles. So if you're a Jets fan, there are better days ahead. Hopefully that you get a healthy squad next season with Aaron Rodgers back at the quarterback position. Gentlemen, before we get into the Thursday night football player props here for the last game of the breaks my heart Thursday night football for the season, let me tell everyone about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the most fun I've had, winning up to 25 times my money this football season. And now we can also play during the basketball season too, right? College basketball is underway, and obviously the NBA. It's pretty simple. You select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. And like I mentioned, with the basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across basketball and football from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports or leagues. For example, LeBron and Travis Kelce combined at a 10.5 projection of three-pointers made and receptions. Well, you can do that over on Prize Picks. And you can also play along some of your favorite players like rapper Meek Mill and comedian Andrew Schultz. You can now find community plays under the promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community every single week. Prize Picks even offers a reboot policy so that your entries stay in place even if one of your players get injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with an injury insurance policy. Prize Picks is really simple to play. You can make your picks and submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. They have quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, an enormous selection of players and stat types, where we can make Prize Picks number one daily fantasy sports app. Prize Picks offers weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts like Taco Tuesdays. Each Tuesday, Prize Picks discounts certain players' projections up to 25% to provide even more value. They even offer Apple Pay now for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. So all you got to do is go to prizepicks.com and use promo code SGPN for that first deposit match up to $100. Again, that's prizepicks.com using promo code SGPN. All right, gentlemen, let's get into our player props here for the Thursday night football game. Rod, lead us off.
So we just spent all of the intro pumping up Joe Flacco. I'm going to deflate that balloon. I'm going to go with Joe Flacco's passing yards. It's set at 230.5. Look, I'm taking the under on this. You're going to say to me, Rod, that's insane. He's got games of 368, 374, 311, 254. How could you take the under on that? Well, it's just because this Jets defense is that damn good. They actually are allowing the second fewest passing yards per game so far. This 168.6 yards per game. You would not think that, given all the struggles that the Jets have had this season. Defense has not necessarily been one of those struggles. So 168.6 per game passing yards that the Jets are allowing. Last three games, 137.6. You want to know what the quarterbacks have done against these Jets defense? Now, granted, you say to me, okay, but they went up against Jacoby Brissett last week, and he gave up 100 yards there. I get it. Sam Howell, 56. But look at they've held Tua 224 the last time these guys met, 243 the time before that. Josh Allen, 275. And I get it, this is all over 230, right? Some of these, I know Josh Allen over 230, it's 275. But they're holding Josh Allen to 275. I know that Joe Flacco has seen his fair share of resurgence, but Justin Herbert, 136. Jalen Hurts, they held to 280. Mahomes, 203. Prescott, 255. Allen, the first time, 236. Look, these are, not MVP quarterbacks, but these are all elite quarterbacks that they have held to under 300 yards and sometimes in and around under the 230 mark. So if they can do that to Tua, if they can do that to Mahomes, if they can do that to Dak, if they can do that to Allen, they can do that to Flacco. Again, I know we're on one right now. I know Flacco's putting up monster numbers, but this defense has been very stingy against them. And listen, the teams are running more against this Jets team, 126.2 yards in the bottom third of the league as far as yards allowed on the ground for the Jets. So, I mean, again, this Jets defense has been a lot better than the offense. And I think if they had a better offense, they might have won more games. But I think we're in for a quieter game from Joe Flacco. I don't even think he's going to need to pass the ball all that much anyways to begin with. Because I know if you look at Ford's numbers, it's not great either. But again, I don't think there's going to need to be a whole lot of offense to win this game for the Browns. So I don't think that Flacco's going to need to pass. And I don't think he's going to be able to pass for nearly as much as he's been able to the last few games. So give me Joe Flacco under 230.5. You can find this at -105 over on DK.
Yeah, I mean, like you take a look out, like you mentioned, Rod, that over the past, what, since week 12, only one quarterback has gone over this projection, which was Tua. But even on the season long stats, they're only allowing 186 yards passing through there. And I know one game that was with Tommy DeVito, who only had seven. Tyrod Taylor and Tommy DeVito combined for seven passing yards, which brings the numbers down a little bit. But there's been more games than not this season where quarterbacks have gone under this number of 230.5. And rightfully so, right? Because the Jets defense at the beginning of the year when we did our division previews, we talked about it, how the Jets pass defense was going to be elite, especially in the, you know, with Sauce Gardner back there and the improvements that they have made. And also with Robert Saleh at the head coaching position, being a defensive minded a head coach. So, it's again, you know, when we talk about some of these backup quarterbacks that have been playing over this past several weeks, we've seen that regression come. Is this the week that we see it for Joe Flacco? It's a possibility because we saw Jake Browning come back down to earth last week. You know, there was times where Josh Dobbs was looking like, you know, a all-pro quarterback before, you know, he, you know, regressed as well. So I think Joe Flacco falls into that category. We'll find out this week if he can keep it up against the Jets for at least your prop bet here. Rod, hopefully not. But again, like you mentioned, you probably don't need a whole lot of offense in this game to win this football game here. Chris, thoughts on Joe Flacco under passing yards?
Man, I almost got hit with the over. And then I did some of the research that Rod was talking about. I mean, because Flacco's just been killing it. And I do kind of feel like this line is probably, I think it's probably about where it should be. Like we don't have Russian, like it's not a lot of Russian props out for you know, this backfield that's in Cleveland. So I'm looking at the number and I'm like, man, 229, 230, like, you know, Flacco could potentially get there. But I mean, Rod kind of, he hit the nail on the head with some of these numbers. I'm not sure. Like the other thing is this, right? Like how motivated do we think the Jets are going to be in this spot? What we've seen recently is that they have been motivated. Like these bad teams that have been eliminated, they have been motivated. We just seen New England go into Denver and kind of, you know, like throw things way off. We saw the Raiders, Kansas City last week, you know, going in and throw things way off. So it's like these teams that, you know, they're still competing. They're still, you know, being very, very professional. So I think the Jets could be extremely motivated in this spot. The number to me seems a little too close. Like I almost wanted to get there on the over because I do kind of feel like on the Brown side of things, while the Jets defense has been really good against the pass, the Browns just haven't been able to run the football successfully, which has led to Flacco. So I can kind of make an argument for both. Not something that I feel like extremely comfortable playing the under on. I feel like it could go over, but Rob makes a lot of great points right here for the over. I mean, for the under.
Chris, take us to player prop number one, man. What do you got?
So other side, other quarterback, we have Mr. Trevor Siemian. I'm going with his passing attempts over in this spot. The number is a tad bit juiced. I think the best number I think I saw was like -125. But I mean, this one is pretty simple, right? You just look at the Jets. They don't run the football. They're 30th in rushing percentage, and they love to pass the ball. They're third. They have the third highest pass percentage at nearly 37.5 times per game. And Trevor Siemian hasn't been in there, of course, for a lot of weeks. I think this will be just his fourth start of the season, but those pass attempts just continue to go up. You look at Cleveland, you know, the one thing that they do and the reason the strong suit of their defense is to take away the rush. They're forcing teams to pass the ball at 30.8, which is literally 31 times per game, which is the fourth most in the league. So I do expect this number is high, and it's high for a reason. Like 34 pass attempts is there's a lot in this spot, but I do expect, you know, for this Jets team to have to pass the ball in this spot. I don't think it's a spot where they're going to be able to come into Cleveland and establish any kind of rushing attack. So I think that if they are going to score, and we're not expecting a lot of points in this game, this total is 34.5. So those are the games that I do think, and they're 7.5-point dogs also in this spot. So we do expect them to be playing from behind, which is another part of the handicap. So I do expect Trevor Siemian to, you know, be back there, you know, fighting for his life, trying to get the passes off as many as he possibly can. And I feel comfortable taking the number over 33.5 here.
I have the same one as well. I'm not going to regurgitate everything that Chris just said there, because he touched on pretty much everything that I was going to mention as well here for Trevor Siemian over on his pass attempts, right? I mean, last game, 49 pass attempts against Commanders. But you also take a look what the Browns defense is not allowing on the ground is what's really propelling these teams to having to throw the football against the Cleveland Browns. So you take a look just on the ground. The last 3 weeks, Jaguars 17 of 47, 17 of 38, and 13 of 56 last week for the Houston Texans. Not a lot of success for these teams on the ground. Now you take a look at the pass attempts over the last 4 weeks here. 37 for Matthew Stafford against the Browns. Trevor Lawrence had 50. Justin Fields 19 of 40. And then last week between Davis Mills and Case Keenum, they combined for 49 pass attempts in that game. And also the main point, or not the main point, but also one of the handicap is that, like Chris mentioned, they are a significant dog in this game, so they are going to be trailing in this game. So I think that Breece Hall probably won't have a lot of success through the ground in this game against the Cleveland Browns. But you take a look at last week, what Breece Hall did through the air. He had 16 targets, guys. 16 targets in a running back half. That's Alvin Kamara numbers in that first game that he had back. 12 receptions in that game. So there's going to be a lot of dinking and dunking going on in this game for Trevor Siemian, and that pass rush trying to get to him, and it probably will. So, yeah, I'm with you. Trevor Siemian, over 33.5 pass attempts in this game here as of my player prop as well here with Chris. All right, guys, before we get over to the next round of player props for this Thursday night football game, let me tell everyone about Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, a sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching the Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, gentlemen, let's keep it rolling here. Rod, take us over to player prop number two, my friend. What do you got?
Okay, fine. So if you guys are going to go with the Siemian attempts and we built this whole, crafted this whole thing around it, I was actually heading that way anyways, and I'm going to take Breece Hall under 48.5 rushing yards. This is at -110 on Bet365. You want to talk about not running the ball. I mean, you've got one of the better running backs, I think, that in the draft when he was taken. And right now, he's only got 732 rushing yards on the season. Last week, he got 95 of them, but before that, 12, 40, 16, 25, 23, 28, 50, 17, 39. I mean, what the hell is going on here? Like, this is a good running back, and yet he hasn't been able to produce more than, what, 20 yards, 25 yards in more than these, than not in these games. It's just insane to think. So 48.5 is a pretty high total, given what he's been able to do. And let's not forget, he's got a very stingy Cleveland Browns rushing defense as well. They're only allowing, 100 yards per game so far in the season. And it's up there, 100.2. They're 10th in the league as far as rushing yards allowed. And that's just rushing yards in general. Over the last three games, 72 rushing yards per game. But to the running back position, they're only allowing 78 yards per game to the entire position. That's no matter if that's two backs touching the ball, three backs touching the ball, Devin Singletary last week got 44 against them. Roshan Johnson got 36 against them a couple weeks ago. Travis Etienne, 35. Kyren Williams kind of broke the mold with 88, but that's Kyren Williams. And between all three running backs for Denver, they only got 124. Samaje Perine, 55. Javonte Williams, 65. They've been holding these running backs to some very, very low totals. Ravens, one of the better running teams in the entire league, right? Their running backs. Mitchell only got 34. Edwards only got 24. Justice Hill only got 7. So we're talking about, just like what you were talking about, the team that throws the ball a lot, wants to pass a lot. That's their identity. They're not running the ball. And because of that, Breece has been suffering. So I definitely think this 48.5 is now, if his receiving yards, I didn't even look at his receiving yards because I wanted to take his under on the rushing. So maybe somebody else has got the receiving, but yeah, this is definitely a spot where I'm definitely going low on this. Hey, look, that's two unders in a row for me. I think that's a record.
Oh boy. Unders. Yeah, I think, look, for it, it's really hard to sometimes predict this Jets offense. I mean, there's different guys that step up every single week, right? And I know last week I may have been an outlier for this Jets offense. And again, I don't want to dig the deep knife into Chris's back here because how bad the Commanders defense has been. But like last week was like the ultimate spot for this offense to have success because every single offense is having success against this Commanders defense. So, I mean, we talked about it with Breece Hall last week. I mean, it wasn't an outlier because they were going up at the Commanders. It's a possibility. But in this game, you know, where it's two teams that are pretty much at third string quarterbacks, that the game that could end 7-3 or 14-10 that gets under this total, it just kind of, it might just happen that way. So I know Rod, look, he's not being, what were we called? That we were not taking unders, and you guys keep on saying it every single week. Rod, what is it?
What is it? Are we hacks or are we
hacks? Was it? Yeah.
No, yeah.
I Chris, you remember what it was? It was hacks.
It was hacks.
All right. So Rod going out with a bang for the last Thursday night football episode of the regular season, not being a hack. Chris, any thoughts on this player, Prof?
Absolutely. I'm right there with you, Rod. I took this one as well. And you guys know I love me a good under. And I think last week when we did the show, I gave out some overs. And we didn't do a recap, but I didn't do well last week on the show. So I do like this under. I think it's for a lot of what Rod said. I mean, not to beat the dead horse, because Rod did give out some really good numbers. And I was looking at Cleveland defense. They're actually a little bit better against the pass than they are against the rush. But they can do a pretty good job of kind of, you know, rushing the ball as well. You know, you posed the question to us, do we think last week was an outlier performance for Breece Hall? And I would say yes. I mean, 95 yards against the Commanders on 25 carries. And we talked about this, right? If you've been targeting this Washington defense, then congratulations to you. You've made yourself a lot of money, especially since the trade, right? Since the trade of Montez Sweat and, Chase Young, right? Both of those guys gone, and that rush defense, well, the pass defense has gotten worse, and they already didn't have much of a – the rush defense has gotten worse. They already didn't have much of a pass defense. So 20 carries for 95 yards, like Rod said. But before that, 12 rushing yards against Miami, 40. 16, 25, 23, 28. So it's literally been what, 7 weeks since before, if you take out last week's game. Also, I think it's something to note that you see a running back, you know, go for 95 rushing yards. And what did the books do, Rod? They immediately adjust them back down to 46. Like, we know that was an outlier. We know that that's not going to happen again. And I will say, you know, this is something, this is a prop, the prop market that I really like to target, right? Throughout the show, I've been cashing on taking these running backs against in these really bad, you know, spots. And I think for Cleveland, especially with a total so low, I looked at the weather for this game as well. It doesn't look like any inclement weather. It's like a 10, 11% chance of rain. So I don't think that's going to necessarily impact, you know, him having to rush the ball even more, but the attempts aren't there either. Outside of the 20 attempts that he got in the last game, last week against Cleveland, he hasn't run the ball 20 times since week five, I'm sorry, against Denver. And Rod kind of mentioned, and another thing that I looked at when I was handicapping this was, you look at Cleveland's defense, they really stepped up defensively against the rush. Like, they haven't allowed a running back to rush for 50 plus yards since week 13, when it was Kyren Williams. Yeah, Kyron Williams. So, yeah, I mean, this is a number that I'll play confidently, even though it is, you know, a tad bit too low. I do think it's set that low for a reason. The books are, they're not going to, you know, put it at 75 so people can smash the under. They want to make it, you know, so people have to kind of, you know, gauge it. And I do feel like the Buffalo defense steps up in this spot. Like I said, it correlates a lot with the Trevor Siemian's over his pass attempts as well. Just look for the Jets and Salah not to do what they should do, which is, you know, hand the ball to, you know, a really good running back out the backfield.
Chris Nichols was a player prop number two, my friend. What do you got?
So that was player prop number two.
You said you agree with them as well. Okay.
Yeah,
that went over my head. All right. So there we go. Some agreement for myself and Chris on the first player prop, and then Rod and Chris agreeing on Breece Hall as well. So I'll go into player prop number two here. I'm going to go with the Browns tight end here, David Njoku, to go over 49.5 receiving yards in this game. And you take a look at what number one David Njoku has done over the past several weeks for this offense, especially with Joe Flacco under center for the Cleveland Browns, right? So number one, let's go look at the past. Let's just go to the past 3 weeks here for David Njoku. So he's had 91 receiving yards, 104 and 44 last week against the Texans. But I think the one thing that really sticks out to me is, number one, the targets that he is getting, right? So he's at least 8 targets in 3 straight weeks. He's also had 8 targets in 4 of the last 5 weeks. If we want to go back to the Denver game as well, 9 targets in that game, 6 receptions, 59 yards receiving for David Njoku. He's had at least 6 receptions in 4 of the last 5 weeks, including 3 straight games for the Cleveland Browns offense. And he's also at least scored a touchdown in 3 straight weeks for the Cleveland Browns as well. And again, we talked about this Jets defense, right? On the ground, they're not giving up a whole lot. But if you take a look at some of the tight ends that have had success against this Jets defense over the past several weeks here, it sticks out to the page for me a little bit. So last week, the Commanders, Logan Thomas and John Bates combined for 8 receptions for 50 yards. Let's go back to the Texans game, where I know in that game that the Texans were without their top 3 guys as far as availability for the wide receivers, right? So Brevin Jordan and Andrew Beck combined for 4 receptions and 61 yards in that game. Let's go to the Falcons. Kyle Pitts, 4 receptions, 51 yards. Jonnu Smith contributed 2 for 10. But we take a look at this Cleveland Browns offense, it's Amari Cooper, and then after that, it's been a crapshoot. But the guy that has stepped up has been David Njoku for this Cleveland Browns offense. So not asking him to do a whole lot of getting yardage here, and nothing that he's already not been doing for this Cleveland Browns offense. He gets those, again, 7-8 targets again. In this game, he makes the most of it. Like I mentioned, at least 6 receptions in 4 of the last 5 weeks, including 3 straight here. So asking him to get 50 receiving yards here, I don't think it's a tall order for a guy that's, you know, been having success in the offense right now with Joe Flacco under center. So I'm going to go David Njoku over 49.5 receiving yards in this game here. Rod, any thoughts on David Njoku?
Well, I've got my next prop actually involves him as well. So I guess we'll just roll right into that. If he's going to get that, I think 18 of those, at least 19 of those yards are going to come on one catch. I've got Njoku's longest reception over 18.5 at -110, my first over of the day. You talked about his receiving yards, but I'm telling you right now, you look at his longs, right? Or especially over his last 3 games with Flacco getting hot, 21, 34, 34. He's catching and running and doing everything he needs to do. And he's one of Flacco's favorite targets on the deeper balls, on the, you know, being able to catch it and break away and get some yards after the catch. But even on the season altogether, he's got a 23 yarder, a 41 yarder, a 26 yarder, a 29 yarder. So he's capable of breaking away for a decent sized chunk. And if we're only asking him to get 19 yards on one of these catches, again, he's proven he can do it the last 3 weeks. I think he can do it again this week. And you already broke down the tight end position, what they were doing against the Jets. Yeah, the Jets have had a pretty decent passing defense, but they are giving up some chunk plays to the tight end position. So if we're talking about one of the more targeted players on this team, I think it stands to reason that he's going to catch at least a 19 yarder in there. So yeah, give me one of the main threats on this offense to go and have a 19-yard catch at -110. That one's kind of all over the place, so you can find that. The number's the same, but the line's pretty much the same too everywhere else.
Yeah, I agree. Again, talking about Amari Cooper, had a historical week last week against the Texans, but also like kind of flying under the radar has been David Njoku for this offense for the Cleveland Browns. Chris, you have any thoughts on David Njoku?
Yeah, this is my other one. So you guys both took one of my props, but I mean, it everything makes sense, like you said. You know, like we talk about the resurgence of Joe Flacco, and I mean, outside of Amari Cooper, like you said, you know, this has been his guy, right? And when we think back to Flacco, like leading that Baltimore Ravens team to Super Bowl, like it was his tight end, right? Flacco is one of those traditional quarterbacks that really love his security blanket. We've talked about it throughout the entirety of the season. I also went through, just to kind of add on what you had said, because I looked at some of those same things. Also just went through and looked at this defense, because we talked about it being pretty stout against the pass, but against tight ends specifically, and you might have mentioned a little bit of this, they've given up, I'm looking at the Jets, they've given up they've given up 69 receptions to the tight end position, which actually is not too bad. They would be right outside the top 10, but they've also given up 103 targets. So teams are continuing to target them, and they're scoring touchdowns and they're getting yards. 644 yards to this position, and it's really just a force feed, right? Like they're running routes for Njoku. He's a very athletic guy. He has a very wide catch radius, and you know, being at home, I do expect him to be able to kind of, you know, get like this would be the prop, you know, in my eyes that I think you could potentially alt, right? Like you could maybe take him up to 80 receiving yards in this spot for some nice plus money. So I like David Njoku in this spot as well.
Here we go. All right. So that is player prop number two. And then Chris, that was your third player prop as well.
I got an honorable mention too, you know.
Yeah, did I get to my third one yet? I don't think I have.
You did not. You did not.
Okay, so let me give him my third one here. It is going to be Amari Cooper, but I'm going to look at him to go his longest reception. His longest reception over 21 and a half yards. And again, this kind of just goes back to what Flacco has been doing for this offense over the past several weeks. And that guy that has been getting those long receptions has been Amari Cooper. Last 2 weeks, he had 51 against the Chicago Bears, 75 against the Houston Texans. But we know that Joe Flacco loves getting the ball down the field and having those long passes. And maybe it's not, you know, we talk about the downfield threats on this team, especially at the wide receiving group. Nobody really jumps off the page, but that guy really has been Amari Cooper. And I think we talked about this on the pregame show with myself and Lante, is that Amari Cooper has been one of the more consistent wide receivers in the entire National Football League that just doesn't get the spotlight, just because he's just a guy that goes out and conducts his business and just racks up the yardage and just does a lot of things for his quarterback that makes it easier to play that quarterback position on that team. Right, we saw what he did when he was with the Dallas Cowboys and the success that they had offensively. Right, I know they picked up CeeDee Lamb after they got rid of Amari Cooper, but him coming over to this Browns team after he was with, I think it was with the Raiders for a brief amount of time, he's been nothing but stellar. If I told you that he was sitting here with a total of 1,250 receiving yards, you probably would have thought I was crazy, but he's been doing that. And he's had great weeks over the last 3 weeks, 77, 109, 265. And he's been that guy that's consistently been able to turn his targets into, I think, receptions. I guess the conversion, and what I really look at is when we talk about like that guys that get the targets and actually make the most of them, because there's a lot of wide receivers and tight ends in the league that they're getting the targets, but they're not really turning those targets into receptions, whether they have bad ends or whatever the case might be. But Amari Cooper has been one of those consistent players. So long story short here, I've been a huge fan of Amari Cooper ever since he's coming over to the Browns team. He provides a lot of support to that wide receiving group and that quarterback position. But he's also a guy that can not only catch those slant passes and take it to the house or turn them into long gains, but he's also a guy that's a downfield threat for quarterbacks that do play for this Cleveland Brown team. And I think it just goes to the fact that Joe Flacco has been that guy. And I'll quickly read off the numbers of what Joe Flacco has done as far as the longest receptions. longest completions ever since they did bring him over to the Cleveland Browns, and he's been that starting quarterback. So over the last 3 weeks, Joe Flacco has long completions of, let's see here. So last week was 75 yards. That did go to Amari Cooper. Prior to that, 57 to against the Bears. He had 41 as a long completion against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then 42 against the LA Rams. And I was not able to find the longest completion for Joe Flacco, so I went with I pivoted to Amari Cooper because I feel like he's that guy that's going to benefit from that long completion from Joe Flacco. So Amari Cooper over 21 and a half longest reception for me here, Rod.
You don't got to tell me about Amari Cooper. I watched him blow up against my fantasy team, so I am not in the championship match because Amari Cooper threw 46 points up against my team. So, well, that and, you know, a lot of other things, but it was mainly Amari Cooper. So I harbor some bitterness toward him. I'm probably going to shut the TV off when he comes on, but I can't. Yeah. I mean, he's going to be one of the major, and I know that it's not going to be a lot of yardage that Joe Flacco throws for, but most of it's going to go to him. A lot of it's going to go to, and it may be in a big chunk to Amari Cooper because that's what he does. Maybe he'll be quiet for 2.5 quarters and then all of a sudden blow up for a huge catch. So that's just the way Amari Cooper is. Sometimes he'll blow up on you. Sometimes he'll be quiet and then all of a sudden catch a big pass. So yeah, I think that's a good gamble to make.
Chris, you mentioned an honorable mention here. Let's get into our honorable mentions before we get to our touchdown scores here. What do you got?
I'm looking at Greg the Leg Zuerlein, kicker prop, sitting at 5.5 kicking points, and the over is a tad bit juice, sort of like around minus 120, 125. This dude's just been like the consistent piece for this offense, and we don't expect a lot of points in this game. Like I said, total 35, 34.5 at some places, but we if they can kind of keep the game from getting out of hand and to just rely on that defense, then it does give this Jets offense a chance to, you know, potentially not be blown out earlier to the point where they are, you know, kicking field goals. I mean, 5.5 is literally 2 field goals, right? We just need this offense to be able to get down the field and to kick 2 field goals in this spot. I just go through and I kind of look back even at some of the bad defenses that he's played against, what a bad defense is he's definitely gone over. 12 kicking points last week against the Commanders. That was all pretty easy. Houston against your Houston Texans, you know, 12 kicking points in that game as well. He's been kicking 50 yarders, you know, pretty successfully. He's 3-for-3 in the last 2 weeks. But even when they played against the Atlanta Falcons, that was a 13-8 game, and they lost. They only scored 8 points. He was accountable for 6 of those, and it's only been 1 week. In the last, I mean, you guys can go through and look at the box score. 1 week in the last, 9 weeks that he's gone under this projection of 5.5. So I see him at 17, 12, 7, 6, 12, 6, 12, 12. Only that one when they played against the Miami Dolphins, and that game was never a game from the beginning. He only had 13 kicking points in that game. But like I said, as long as this one, you know, stays close early, I do think that at least the Jets will be able to go down and kick, you know, 2 field goals. We're not asking them to score a bunch of touchdowns. So I think Greg the Leg is a good honorable mention in this spot. The hesitancy when I was looking at this was looking at Cleveland. Even though their defense has been so good, they are not a good red zone defense. They're actually allowing teams to score 70% of the time in the red zone. We know that the one thing that the Jets don't do is score a lot in the red zone, but they are 30th in red zone score, an opponent red zone scoring. So that kind of, you know, has me on the fence just a tad bit. But if I'm looking at Greg the Leg, I'm definitely taking this over here in this spot. 5.5 is his kicking points.
Anytime that you see Greg the Leg going up against the Dolphins, just take the under. But anybody else, you might want to just take the over with him. But, you know, you mentioned, right, you take a look at this game that has a low total of, 35 points in this game. When you get into that area of field goal range or in the red zone, like you mentioned, Chris, that more times than not, I think Robert Saleh is going to end up taking the points rather than gambling, you know, and going for it on fourth down, you know, at least early on, right? And you want to take points where you can get them. So I think that asking him to get 2 field goals here when he's done it more times than not is definitely not out of the realm of possibility for Greg Zuerlein. Rod, any honorable mentions you want to throw out?
The over under on how many times I wish that this would be a different game. I already
took the over on that.
Yeah, I was gonna say it doesn't matter. Set that number on the high. No, I honestly, what I found was what I found. I couldn't even come up with anything else I really like. And just like Chris said earlier, I mean, we weren't even given any rushing totals for any of the Browns running backs. So even the books are like, do we have to handicap this game? Like, all right, let's give them the bare minimum that we could give them and then get the hell out of here. So,
yeah, I think the only one that just popped up right now. I'm sorry. Breece Hall's the only one there, but like you guys mentioned, nothing for the Cleveland Browns as far as rushing yards. All right, let's get over to our touchdown scores for this game. Gentlemen, Rod, you want to lead us off?
Well, let's go back to Njoku, because again, I feel like
only one I had too.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The Jets have only scored 19 touchdowns on the entire season. I mean, this is ridiculous. The 10 passing touchdowns, 6 rushing. It just doesn't make any sense to me that we're going to pick a Jets to score a touchdown. Like you said, Greg DeLeg's probably the only points these guys are going to get all game long. So Njoku, anytime, +180. The first touchdown is at 8-1. I mean, he did it a couple of weeks already. Njoku has scored the first touchdown for the game, let alone the Browns. So I think he's going to get in the end zone for sure. So do the books. That's why it's +180. And why not take a chance on him to be one of the first touchdowns and maybe the last touchdown too, honestly, if you want to sprinkle something on both of those.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it with David Njoku. He scored a touchdown 3 straight weeks, so he's at currently around +180 or on DraftKings. Definitely shop around, get the best number for these touchdown scores, because they do vary in some way. I'll throw out their defensive touchdowns, defense and special teams. I think we have two teams here and two defenses here that have been playing well above average thus far this season. And, you know, we talk about a game that has a total of 35. You're maybe looking at a punt return or maybe a pick six, fumble, scoop and score. I think these defenses are more than capable of doing that. So I agree with Rod. David Njoku, +180. And then these defenses, or defense and special teams, to find the end zone. 5-1, I believe, is what I saw the number for the Jets. For the Browns, it's 5-1. And then for the Jets defense, it's at 8-1. So, those were the couple that I looked at in this game. Chris, touchdown scores.
That was it. You Rod took one and you took the other, you know. Njoku, I see him at +210. You know, definitely, like you said, shop around, get the best number. We talked about, you mentioned, you know, his tight end, just his receiving numbers and the receptions and the continuous tight ends for Njoku. So it's super public, of course. But the Jets have given up 8 touchdowns to the tight end position, which is the second most in the NFL throughout the pretty much the whole season. So there. And then I was also going to go Browns defense, you know, I saw that +350. But, you know, just like you said, it's scoop and score. Trevor Siemian is coming to this young season and thrown, three interceptions already, and just one touchdown. So one of those could go back to the house as well if he's not careful. All it takes is a tip pass, and this Cleveland Browns defense is more than capable of getting in the end zone. They have a couple touchdowns already this season, as do the Jets as well. So those are the only two ways I was looking in this game as well. Breece Hall, if you had to take anything on the opposite side, he has, I think, 3 receiving touchdowns and a few more than that rushing touchdowns. But outside of those two guys, maybe a jump ball where you see Gary Wilson in the end zone. But it's too hard for me to take my hard-earned money and place it on anybody but the Jets to go on the road and score a touchdown when I have no idea who it's going to be. And it's just not a lot of consistency there. So,
yeah, Rod mentioned that, 19 total touchdowns for the Jets. I'd be curious to see how many they've scored on the road and how many touchdowns the Browns have actually given up at home. Because if you look at the numbers for the Browns on the road, they're averaging I can quickly look this up, because I know, shout out to our golf gambling podcast producer, Cam, who's been absolutely just taking the over in road games for the Cleveland Browns, and then just taking the under in their home games, because the numbers are just astronomical. So let me quickly pull it up here and just to kind of put it into perspective, because it kind of does tie into our touchdown scores for this game. So the Cleveland Browns on the road this season are 7-0 to the over, averaging about 54 points per game. And them themselves are averaging 26 points per game. At home this season, the Cleveland Browns 6-1-1 to the under with a combined final score of 33.6 points per game, and they're only giving up 13.1 points per game in that span. So, and again, if you are looking for some betting trends here, we'll throw that out there extra. The Browns at home this season 7-1 straight up, 6-1-1 against the spread as well. So, definitely keep that in mind if you're going to be betting something outside of player props here for this Thursday night football game. Well, leads us to guys our best bets for this Thursday night football game, last one of the year. So hopefully we can win it, end it on a winning note here. Rod, no pressure, but lead us off, man.
No pressure. Then I'll take Hall under 48.5 rushing yards. I don't think that the Jets are going to be running this ball. I think that they're not going to have an opportunity to run this ball. I feel like they'll get down a couple of touchdowns early and that'll be it. I mean, and by early, I mean the third quarter, because let's not face it, guys. This is not going to be a very interesting game, but even 7 points to these guys is probably going to be down too much. So, and Breece, outside of his 95 yard, I mean, he's probably still running against the Commanders right now, but outside of that, he has not necessarily produced well. And 48.5 seems like a pretty high total. So give me the under 48.5 for Breece Hall, -110.
Love it. Chris, best bet.
I want to go with Rob, best bet. Breece Hall under, but we'll go Travis Simeon. We'll go over his past attempts. You know, if he throws the ball 38 to 40 times in this spot, really would not surprise me, because that's what Salah likes to do. He doesn't like to hand it off to the running back. And this defense is really, really good at home. Like you mentioned, you know, if they're going to force, and if game script goes as we think it will, they will force Travis Simeon and his offense to at least pass the ball. I'm not sure if it's going to be completed, but if they can string along, you know, a couple possessions, a couple, you know, first downs on multiple possessions, then I think we easily go over this number. The only thing that really, kind of alter like factors into these player props going, these pass attempts going under, is when the offense is just so bad that they can't even move the ball. And then they only, you know, end up with like 8 pass attempts in the first half, because that has happened a couple times this season as well. But I do expect them, you know, I expect Trevor Siemian to be able to pass the ball in this spot. I'm not sure if he's going to get his passing yards, which is also set really low, but I am pretty high on his pass attempts to go over the 33.5 here.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think Simeon was probably the favorite of mine as far as the best bet here. So I'm going to go Trevor Siemian as well, over 33.5 pass attempts, or everything, you know, that we did talk about here on this episode. I'm not going to regurgitate everything. So best bet, Trevor Siemian over 33.5 pass attempts for me, which last but not least, let's put together our Prize Picks entry for this Thursday night football game between the Jets and the Browns. Again, if you haven't already signed up for an account at prizepicks.com, make sure you use that promo code SGPN. You'll get a 100% deposit bonus of up to $100 on your first deposit. All right, so I don't see pass attempts listed just yet on Prize Picks, so we can't go there. I think I will throw in David Njoku's receiving yards number, which is sitting at 50.5. I'll go more on that. Rod, what is one that you want to throw out here for our Prize Picks entry?
Well, I guess we could put the Njoku touchdown. I know that they probably have that listed as well.
Rushing and receiving. Yes, they do. So we'll throw in David Njoku. We'll go more on that. Chris, you want to go with Greg the Leg, 1.5 field goals,
yes,
or you want to go another round?
Let's do it. Let's do it. No, Greg the Leg. Let's do it. I was just about to say that. You read my mom, you know.
There we go. All right. So we're going to go David Njoku double dipped more than 50.5 receiving yards. And then David Njoku to have a rushing or receiving touchdown in this game, since he's done it in 3 straight weeks. And then we're going to go with Greg the Leg, Greg Zuerlein, kicker for the New York Jets, to have more than 1.5 made field goals. That power play of going 3 for 3 at $100 entry will get you $750 in return. So the key for us is going to be David Njoku finding that end zone. Hopefully it's like a 50-yard reception for him that will knock out two birds with one stone for our entry here for Prize Picks for this Thursday night football game. Gentlemen, that is going to do it for this edition of the Thursday night football game. Last game of the NFL regular season between the Jets and the Browns. Rod, anything else you want to mention, my friend, before we get out of here?
No, sir. Just follow me on X at RJ Villa Gomez. There's a link in the bio. Everything I got going on. Still got props going for Sportsbook Review. And then, of course, the F1 Gambling Podcast. We're back. We have some win totals that we're talking about. Championship odds over there as well. And then NASCAR still going every single day. In fact, if you flip over to NASCAR here in about an hour or so, we're going to go live again. We're going to talk some NASCAR news, and then we're going to sneak a little bit of a special underdog in there for you. So
there we go.
I haven't told the bosses yet, but I'm sure they'll forgive us.
Chris, anything else, my man?
Nah, man. Like always, just, you know, bet responsibly, enjoy the games, everyone. This is the last Thursday. Like you said, you know, and Rod, but, yeah, enjoy the games, man. Definitely, you know, if you want to find all my work, you can find me over on Twitter at CrispyCap2P2Ns outside of NFL. Also doing NBA, bunch of work there. Daily show, 5 p.m. Eastern time for anybody that wants to tune in. But, you know, enjoy the last Thursday night game. Hopefully it's better than we expect. That's all we can pray for. And hopefully we cast some props as well.
There you go. Yeah, last football game of the Thursday games, at least, or Thursday night games, I should say, for the NFL regular season. So enjoy it. We'll be back as usual later.
Happy birthday, Brock Purdy. Happy birthday, Brock Purdy. Sorry.
Happy birthday, Brock Purdy.
Let's throw that in there.
Hopefully your friends got you some strippers and cocaine to forget about your performance on Sunday. But hey, this is your time to redeem yourself, get yourself back into that MVP conversation. But happy birthday to Brock Purdy of the San Francisco 49ers. Just goldfish memory. Just forget about that game, Brock Purdy, last week. It's just one regular season game. Got bigger fish to fry for the rest of the season and in the playoff run. We back this Friday for our weekend player props, as we usually do. So check out us then. That is an episode you want to tune in for, because we're going to be doing something different and special, and maybe we'll be throwing in some giveaways as well. We'll tweet out when we do schedule that time for Friday so you guys can join us. So look out for us then. Till then, good luck with your bets. Let's break these books off and let it ride.